Well, you found us, and welcome to Caching in the Northwest. This is the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the country. So while you're wondering if that plane should be doing a loop, we'll be caching in the Northwest.
Yes, and that means it's time to bring in our coastal capuchin. Some say his hair naturally sheds water. Others say he line dances like a drunk octopus at his cousin's wedding. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
Yes, it is actually now called the Drunken Octopus. That is the dance. So, you know, you had the Running Man in the 80s and the 90s, and now you got the Drunken Octopus. It's a thing.
The Elaine Bennis?
Yes. Good to be back on the show. Missed it last week, but I did watch most of it. So. Nice. Yeah.
Sorry for what we said.
Yeah.
We didn't think you were watching.
Well, I wasn't watching live. I watched it after the fact. So there was, you know, I had no recourse except for this week. All right. And speaking of recourses and revenge, Mark, welcome to the show.
Yes.
Hey, thanks. I just kind of horned in because I actually have a Thursday night off from choir because there's no choir for a couple weeks.
Nice. Well, you can sing in the after show.
La la la.
Or now.
No, after show, not now.
Darn it.
Goodness me. All right. So yeah. Looking forward to having a great time talking about geocaching. And tonight we are gonna talk about the Olympic Peninsula. So, you know, it is definitely caching in the Northwest this week, but the Olympic Peninsula does have a geo tour as well. So, you know, if you're ever thinking about heading up this way, it is a pretty amazing place to visit. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But before we do, as a quick reminder, we want to remind everybody that we appreciate the support of our patrons who help to keep this podcast coming each and every weekend. If you want to know more about supporting the show, click that Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website.
Somewhere around this area.
Actually, I
don't know where it is. Yeah, but you'll find it. Hey, whether you wrote it or whether you read it, we want to hear about it, because great logs simply make geocaching better. Send an email to feedback@cachingnw.com. you can always call into 253-693-TFTC or use the voicemail tool on the website and show us how you glow.
Yeah, well, I didn't write this one, but I'm going to read it because that's almost always how it works out. This glow this week is from GC7M7C3. Very alternating letters, numbers. It's like a Canadian postal code. The cache is called Time in a Bottle. And the glow reads, solved this one last week or so and plugged in my solved coordinates to the cache page. Close location. Now the only question was, do I log it for a summer souvenir? Or do I leave it, hope it doesn't get muggled, and I can check off one more 366 date in October? I only have about 11 dates left. On the other hand, I'd like to try for the world turtle for personal reasons, although I'm pretty sure I won't have time to get all 100 caches to achieve that goal. Ah, decisions. What the heck? I'm going to log it tonight. After all, once you get one smiley from my event in the mountains earlier, it's really hard not to go after one more. I pulled right up alongside the final and made the quick find after hours. Took me longer to figure out how to open it without breaking it than it did to locate the container. Thanks for a great puzzle. By the way, Google helps tremendously with stage one, and then numbers are not partially missing. Two more smileys on the map today.
Nice. Always fun. Always fun.
Very cool.
Yeah, here when you go to Norway, Iceland, or one of those places, there's like smileys on the ground in real life. Flowers. Big
Iceland.
Ones.
Yes, there are.
Yeah, it's just everywhere you go there. I mean, it does kind of spoil the hunt for the geocache because, well, obviously it's right in the middle of this big smiley.
Or is it? Well, no, not until after you've found it. Then.
Right. Oh, gotcha.
As soon as you sign your name, the field just turns into a big smiley.
Well, yeah. Now, speaking of things that make me smiley, we had some news from cangeotravel.ca. That's a Canadian Geographic Travel. The Great Trail Treasure Hunt. It's coming soon. It's an adventure that gets Canadians exploring, well, you know, and Americans. Anybody's welcome to come and explore the Great Trail up here in Canada.
Icelanders?
Absolutely. Okay. Anybody is welcome. We're really pretty laid back about that. Anyways, gets Canadians and others exploring the longest recreational trail
in the world.
The Great Trail spans an unrivaled variety of landscapes and terrain, from urban to remote wilderness. A national treasure of our country we can all use and enjoy. So here's the deal. August 26th, that's 10 days from now.
Coming up fast.
That will mark the first anniversary of the unification of the 24,000 kilometer network of trails that makes up the Great Trail. To celebrate, Canadian Geographic Travel wants you, your family, and friends to get out there on the Great Trail and win some great prizes. So if you go to the site, and we're going to post the site URL in the chat, it's cangeotravel.ca/Great Trail Treasure Hunt /coming-soon. I don't know if you need the coming soon, but anyways, come back to that site starting on August 26th to get started on the Great Trail Treasure Hunt. Contest ends at the end of October of this year.
Now, after the end of October and it starts to snow, does it become the Great White Trail?
No, it's still the Great Trail. It's just a great trail. It's just great.
It's just great.
It's great. Yeah.
It's all kind of.
It's not the Great White Way.
It's in Canada.
Yes.
Wow.
It unites the entire country from end to end.
I just looked at the map. Holy moly.
Wow.
All the way from C to A.
We call that a metric buttload of trail.
But nice. it doesn't go to Hudson Bay. What's wrong with that?
Pretty much nothing goes to Hudson Bay.
So
we're okay with that.
Just to be clear, the Great Trail is not the Trans-Canadian Trail.
It the Trans-Canada Trail. It is a good part of the Trans-Canada Trail.
Okay. So
most of it is the Trans-Canada Trail.
Well, so, somewhere else that the Great Trail does not lead is to the Olympic Peninsula of Washington State. And that's what we're talking about tonight. So come back and check up on the Great Trail later on. But tonight, it's the Olympic Peninsula. It's, you know, that map of Washington, it's out there. People from Michigan, where are you from? I'm like, here.
It's
Washington, we can kind of do the same thing.
It's a thumb.
Yeah.
It's a part of Washington nobody goes to. Okay, got it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, a lot of people go there. I've been there. It's a great place. Sadly, when I was last there, it was pre-geocaching for me. So I need to get out there and find some great caches. I hear there are some, and I know somebody that's been there recently.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Now, if people maybe aren't familiar with the Olympic Peninsula, maybe you're listening to this in the middle of Poughkeepsie. I don't know. Could happen.
I've never been to the Olympic Peninsula.
I've never been to Poughkeepsie.
Well, there you go.
I've been to Poughkeepsie. You don't miss much.
The Olympic Peninsula is the northwesternmost part of Washington State. It's home to temperate rainforests. You know, not too long ago, we talked about reading the Guinness Book of World Records growing up. And I believe that the wettest place on the planet, at least at one time, listed in the Guinness Book, was out there in the Olympic Peninsula, the whole rainforest. There's the whole rainforest, the Queets, the Quinault, the bunch of rainforest vegetation, all concentrated way out there in that peninsula. It's a really interesting place to travel. And the Olympic Mountains that are out there create a rain shadow on the... Is that the leeward side? I forget. I get my directions all messed up. But the inland side of the peninsula. And it's a very dry climate in there. It's really kind of amazing.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Did you actually memorize the Guinness World Book of Records? I mean, this is impressive.
I can neither confirm nor deny. Okay.
There's one more record in the Olympic Peninsula.
Yeah?
There's this place called 1 Square Inch of Silence.
Ooh.
And it is the quietest place in the United States. And it's located in the Ho Rainforest in Olympic National Park.
What a memorable place.
But how can you fit in a square inch?
You just got to get your ear in that square inch.
You just put one ear in, and then you put one ear out,
and then you
put one ear in, and you shake it all about. And that's what it's all about.
There's a tiny little fence around it to keep the frog.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
now you say nobody ever goes there, but you know, there are two towns out there on the peninsula with a population of at least 10,000. Both Canadian and American, it's still 10,000.
Yeah.
Metric and
wow.
Yeah. And Imperial.
And Imperial? Wow. Yeah. SAE?
Yeah. It's not Imperial, it's butter.
You know, I'm actually surprised with those two towns. Port Angeles doesn't surprise me at all because it's a pretty big city.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought Port Townsend was closer to that size, but it's
yeah, not. I would have thought so too.
Yeah, it's a geographically smaller region, so maybe it's as dense.
Yeah,
as densely populated as Port Angeles, but it's a smaller area. But Port Angeles and Aberdeen, 10,000 people.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. Port Angeles gets a lot of tourists from British Columbia coming out of Victoria on that.
I wonder why that is.
A ferry?
Yeah, that ferry. When that ferry arrives, you know it. We were there when the ferry arrived. We'd come a different route. And
yeah,
we happened to be in town at lunchtime. And we'd just gone into a restaurant near the wharf, grabbed our lunch, sat down. And like minutes after we sat down, the door, like they were backed up out the door with people. Yeah. Lunch. I'm like,
they have a good time
that well.
And they were speaking Canadian, so you understood.
Canadian, yeah, exactly.
The other, you know who else knows when that ferry comes in is all of the birds, yes.
Seagulls.
Yeah, that ferry stuns all the fish and they float to the surface all stunned, and the birds just have a feast.
There you go.
Silly birds.
You know, you were talking about the square inch of silence, the quietest place in the United States, which is really cool. I mean, we're making fun of it, but it's actually really cool distinction for a part of the Olympic National Park, which is a massively huge park, beautiful area. We'll get into more and more of that through the show. But it, you noted in the show notes, it's only 3.2 miles from the visitor center above Mount Tom Creek Meadows in the Ho River Trail. And that's, you know, that's not that far away from a place that gets a fair bit of people to it. Mm-hmm. So it's quite surprising, but I guess because of the way that that valley dips down and everything in there, mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yeah, beautiful. It is. I remember hearing that stat not too long ago. And I'm like, oh, I think I need to go there. Just what does true silence sound like? Yeah, because you don't hear it in the house anymore.
No, there's always something.
Yeah. Nowhere. Yeah, darkness, my old friend.
The sound of silence.
That's right.
So there are other cities and towns,
yes.
You know, not as big as Port Angeles or Aberdeen, but you have Hoquiam, Ocean Shores, which, you know, we'll talk about in a little bit. Port Townsend, Squim.
Yeah.
Or Sequim, as the non-natives like to pronounce it. Shelton, Belfair. Probably all heard of Forks because silly movie.
Yes. You know what's funny? I've heard of the books and the movies. I've never watched them, never read them. We're doing the geo tour, and all of a sudden we get into that area, and it's everywhere. Like there's posters and billboards, and everything is about that silly series of books. And
just before nightfall.
Yeah, exactly. And
I honestly didn't know what you're talking about.
But the Twilight books take place in that area. And I don't know if
the movie was filmed in that area.
Was it actually filmed there? Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if the books take place there or not. Okay. As I've never read them. I don't know about, I've never seen the movies.
Well, they're,
you've never been a teenage girl.
Oh, is that what I'm missing?
Yeah.
I have been online. Oh, but no, we're not talking about that.
The towns are definitely making hay out of that. I'll just tell you that much.
Oh,
and
yes.
They still are.
Yeah.
So.
Roslyn. If you've been to Roslyn,
mm-hmm.
That's where,
It's northern, not on the Olympic Peninsula.
Northern Exposure was filmed.
Northern Exposure, right.
So that was another one, you know, it was supposed to be Alaska, but it was filmed in Roslyn. And so, you know, you can go and see the buildings that they used in the street shots and what have you. So it's not the first movie town in the state of Washington, but it really has gotten quite popular.
I wonder if that's where the Alaskan Bush people are now.
It wouldn't surprise me. They're not normal people.
No. You know, there's some other towns in there with really, really fun names. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let Land Monkey run through them because he was chuckling about some of them before the show.
I was. Yeah, speaking of things that aren't normal.
yes, welcome, Land Monkey.
Yeah. So I'm going to get a few of these totally wrong because I never heard them pronounced, but I saw most of them on signs as we drove through the area. The first one is Chimicum.
Yeah, Chimicum. Been up there.
Chimicum. Clallam Bay, mm-hmm. which just rolls off the tongue. Blah, 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 blah.
I've camped there. Nice
the next one is, this one's dedicated to all my Dutch friends. The town name is Hump Tulips. And I'm pretty sure you don't pronounce it that way, but it literally spells Hump Tulips.
That's pretty much how I've always heard it pronounced.
That's the only way I've heard it pronounced as well.
Yeah. And we're still a family-friendly podcast. You can go to Google Maps and confirm that that is the name of a town on the Olympic Peninsula, folks. But
those poor tulips. I don't know.
Awkward day in the garden. All right.
Nomeo.
Kalalok? I don't know. I'm guessing.
I think it's Claylock. Yeah.
Claylock.
Okay. Yeah. Which makes sense because it would probably be based on the indigenous original name mm-hmm. of the area. Mm-hmm. Next one's one of my favorites and has a most breathtaking sunset. If you can catch sunset at this next place, I'm going to tell you, you need to do it. It is unbelievable. The place is called La Pouche.
Mm-hmm.
Is it next door to Les Paul?
Exactly.
It's on the opposite side.
Yeah.
When you come at it from the water, it's Les Paul.
Okay.
Land, it's La Pouche.
Got it.
They name all their doors funny there too, but anyway, go ahead.
Lillooet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's little.
Yeah. When you run out of clips, where do you go?
Mo clips.
Yeah.
Potlatch, which makes sense because that's definitely a term I'm familiar with from.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having a potluck there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, our potlatch. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Quilcene.
Mm-hmm.
Quinault. And this next one, I never understood. I never heard it pronounced. I have no idea. It's like CQ.
It's CQ.
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 Yeah.
That makes way
like
more
like two
sense.
Letters, C and Q.
Yeah. Q. Yeah.
Well, I CQ too.
CQ, CQ, CQ.
I CQ.
That's a whole different thing.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's some fun town names. You can have fun visiting as you drive around and you look at the signs and you go, it just said Hump Tulips.
Hold on. Did that really say what I thought it just said?
Yep. I was telling the guys before the podcast, when, as Mrs. Monkey and I drove across the Hump Tulip River Bridge, and I said, I really should have stopped and taken a picture of that sign because it said Hump Tulips. And she said, can we just keep driving?
You know,
and she sighed.
Yes,
exactly.
We all know the wife sigh.
It doesn't matter how tall we are and how much gray hair we have. We're still teenage boys.
That's correct.
That's right. Yeah. Oh. You know, the peninsula is an amazing area, though. I overuse the word amazing. That has recently been pointed out to me. But in the case of the Olympic Peninsula, it is well warranted.
Mm. Would it amaze balls?
I was going to say, would it qualify for amaze balls?
It would qualify for amaze balls in my estimation after my visit to the Olympic Peninsula. Many state and national parks, Anderson Lake Park, Bogachiel, Toe Swallops. Okay, it's more silly names. Fort Flagler and Fort Worden State Parks. Okay, I got to say, so there's from the Geo Tour, there are caches in both Fort Flagler and Fort Worden State Parks. And those parks are part of the coastal defense system pre-World War II and through World War II that the U.S. military maintained. And they still have a lot of historic elements there. So if you're a history buff and a bit of a you know, the war architecture buff, those parks are definitely places to go. They're quite fascinating from that perspective, as well as, you know, they're just nice parks.
Yeah. Thus the fort in front of the name, they still do have some of the battlements.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm getting at.
So I've never been to Olympic Peninsula. All I hear about is it's a really heavy rainforest. So do you notice any difference between the Olympic Peninsula and the Cascades or anything like that?
You know what? Honestly, I mean, technically it gets more rain than anywhere else, but I was there just a couple of weeks ago. We're in the summer. We're all in a drought here, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. It was pretty much the same as being in the Cascades from a precipitation point of view, but I understand and I recognize that other times of the year it is going to get more because of that that mountain range, the Olympic Mountains, abutted right out into the ocean there. It makes sense that they would get a lot more rain, Mark.
So is the moss even thicker on the trees? Not the same.
Well, okay. One of the cool places that my wife wants to go on the Olympic Peninsula is the Hall of Mosses.
Oh. Well,
so it's, you know, mosses hanging off of trees that create a room or a, you know, tunnel. And it's just really quite impressive, I've seen from the picture. So it's one of the places I want to go just to see it. And, well, oddly enough, there's a geocache or two there.
Well, two of the world's biggest trees are in the Olympic Peninsula, so obviously they get enough rain.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
I also know people who live in Squim, and they move there because apparently that's the most temperate. No, hardly any rain ever happens in Squim. It's right. An oddball park in the Peninsula.
Exactly,
it's in the rain shadow of the Olympics. Yes,
that makes sense. Yeah, based on where it is, yeah. Like that north coast part is quite temperate and quite nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get out onto the west coast and heading south and. It is rugged. It is spectacular. But yeah, you're going to get a lot more rain along that.
Yeah.
That section.
So how about the caches?
Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but it is actually the northwest corner of the state, but it's neither the most northern point of the U.S. that's in Minnesota or the western point that's a little farther down in Cape Alvea. But Cape Flattery is considered the northwest corner of the continental United States.
It's very flattering.
Yeah, thank mm-hmm. you. Flattering. Mm-hmm. Now, the Olympic National Park sits right in the middle of the Olympic Peninsula. And as a result, there are very few caches in there. There's some of the new virtual rewards. But most of the caches are all grouped around the outside of the peninsula
for the most part. But even then, I would have to warn you, like when I looked at it, I thought, ooh, there's a lot of earth caches and virtuals we're going to be able to get on this road trip. No, a number of them are hikes into them. So you have to plan for more than just a day and a half or two to 3 days. You need to give yourself enough time. If your plan and your intent is to get to some of those earth caches and virtuals, you need to plan an appropriate amount of time to get into them. But spectacular location.
I, as you know, and I say quite often, I'm working on the DeLorean map challenge. And, you know, there's a couple of spots in there that are tough to get.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
So.
You just got to want them.
Yeah. Yeah. you know, I just got to get across the border of that map page. I don't have to go far. Just
That's right.
Yeah. Nice. So in the chat, I noticed Three Hams just posted a link to a photo of the sign that I wanted to take a photo of.
I was going
to
say, yeah, you can Google map that, right?
The sign says, entering Hump Tulips, solid waste disposal. So, yeah. Take what you can get.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Oh, very nice.
Are there big geocaching events going on at the Olympic Peninsula?
On the peninsula,
that's off.
Not sure. I mean, there's events because there's cachers out there, but
yeah.
Especially Port Angeles and Port Townsend areas. But I don't know about big events. Mark, what's the maybe the biggest nearest event?
So I think that might be Cache Dash and Splash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the Long Beach Peninsula. So it's a peninsula.
There you go.
It's just the wrong one. But that's looks like a pretty cool event that's happening on the 15th of September. It's GC7P336, and I forget how much this is, like several years of it there now. I've heard this is going to be the last year of it though.
Oh, she's really? Yeah.
So she posted this will be her last one due to health reasons.
Okay.
But its theme this year is railroads, because the peninsula used to be served by what they called the Clamshell Railroad, which wasn't connected to anywhere else. It just went up the peninsula.
Hmm.
And so that they just published what the coin's going to look like. It's pretty awesome looking steam locomotive going across a square coin. And they're going to have t-shirts that also has a, go figure, a steam train on it. So guess who's going there?
A steampunk.
It's rail oriented.
Yeah, let's see. Let me think.
I don't know.
Maybe me?
A pilot.
Oh, there's a thought.
Okay, would you go if it wasn't train and rail oriented?
You know, that's a good question, because I've been watching this event for the last few years, and I wanted to go last year, but because of various reasons, I didn't. And I was planning to go this year anyway. So this just makes it even better.
All right.
Cool. Icing on the cake.
So what's really cool is if you go, even if you don't find five, even if you don't go looking for geocaches, you can get five smileys by going to five separate events.
Wow.
Wait a minute. That's what Three Hams just said in the chat.
Wow. Is that amazing?
Yeah. Mm. I love the name, the theme of all these events. They're all tied together.
Yeah. So the first one, it starts off Friday evening, and I will be there. It's called the Dining Car.
Nice.
Then Saturday morning, which is the kickoff event, is called All Aboard.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday evening is kind of the end of the day cache, and it's called Tickets Please. And then Sunday morning when you get up, you can go get breakfast, and guess what it's called? Whistle Stop Breakfast.
Ooh. How would you end all these events?
You always have to do a cleanup, and you know what's at the end of a train for a cleanup? The caboose.
Ah, how appropriate.
So it's...
Oh, so it's a train caboose they're talking about.
That's correct.
Well, a train maybe. Caboose, yeah.
Trains, yes. This is not the badunkadunk.
So if you register, which is, I think it's $15, if you register, you get to I think it's the dash part. You get to go into an old rail car from the Clamshell Railroad that's at the museum. I forget the name of the city at the bottom of the peninsula, but.
Well, Ilwaco.
Ilwaco, that's right, Ilwaco. Mm. So, and I've been to that museum, and that rail car wasn't open because it's rarely open, but they're going to open it for cashers for that day.
Nice. Cool.
I hear it's the fully restored Nakata.
That's correct. You are correct.
Just guessing.
You just happen to know that, eh?
Oh, well, I mean, if you're pronouncing all these names, what's a Nakata on top of it?
He's just a fountain of knowledge.
He's in the know.
A fountain of something.
Relatively useless, but there I am.
But if you want to get that nice coin, you do need to find like 20 caches or something like that. You know?
20 is pretty doable.
That is very doable. I will have my dog helping me with that one.
Oh, there doable you go. On the weekend for me, doable in 15 minutes for Land Monkey.
Well, it depends how far away they are from you.
Okay, 20 minutes.
20
okay,
minutes.
Yeah, we'll give them 20.
Awesome. Mark, that sounds like a lot of fun. You know, I hadn't even really thought about that event this year, and I didn't realize it's the last one. So now it's going to, I don't know.
Might have to work that one out.
I'm going to talk to Mrs. Monkey. It's just, it's such a long drive from here.
Wow. Yeah,
but they've negotiated pretty good rates at the main hotel that they're using, which is the conference center.
Chat.
Right.
Hmm.
So
Chattuck.
Yeah, I can't pronounce it.
Right.
I'm coming up with it.
If I was in New York, I would say Chappaqua, but it's not Chappaqua.
That's what I'm coming up with, or Chappaquiddick or something. I can't.
I'm sorry for it.
Yeah. Well.
Changes.
Yeah.
It's the David Bowie Lodge.
Yeah. Chalaqua.
Something like that.
Sure. I get emails from it because that's where we stayed. Well, and you too with the missus there, Chris. So we stayed at the first event.
Yeah.
And a nice lodge. Ooh. It's like a timeshare kind of thing.
Yeah. You can get a regular room or a condo room.
Right.
We went Chautauqua. There we go. Thank you, MC3 Cats. You are the new research department.
It was just more fun to watch you guys squirm about it, but
you knew what it was all the time.
Did you just award research department to a new person?
Yeah.
Now? Wow. Okay. Let's see how that's reacted.
Yeah, you know, you snooze, you lose.
And what's nice for it, it's a very small pet fee, but they do allow dogs there.
$15.
It's actually pretty reasonable.
Yeah,
that is pretty reasonable.
My wife went with me, and she really liked the area. And she goes, "Let's stay another night." So we couldn't get the regular hotel room. We upgraded to the condo room, and I would say, do it. The condo room was so much nicer than the regular room.
And it wasn't upgraded. Nice. Mrs. Monkey and I stayed in a condo room.
Yeah, you know, I think we may have passed the deadline, but it's like $110-$120.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So not terribly expensive, but it was definitely worth the upgrade.
Yep. All right. So that's Cash Dash Splash.
Mm-hmm.
On a peninsula.
On a peninsula.
A peninsula, yeah. Not
far from the Olympic Peninsula. Also in Washington. Okay. Yeah. Anything else going on maybe this weekend?
This weekend, you know, in Bremerton, which you have to pass to get to the rest of the Olympic Peninsula if you come from the majority of the state, they're going to have Parlay like it's 1699. This is going to be a very fun event. It's August 18th, which is, 2 days from now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, tomorrow, yeah.
Begin at 8, end at 6:30 for all the land-based activities. That's GC7, Hotel Bravo 4-6. And
Very good.
Thank you. I expected more letters there, and I kind of, wait, what? 7 Hotel Bravo 4-6. And you get a chance to go on these tall ships in a battle sail. So they go out, they raise the sails, they shoot off cannons. It's incredible.
Given that that is this Saturday and like 2 days from now, I'm going to guess that you probably aren't going to get on the ships at this point in time.
I would be surprised if you couldn't.
Really?
Yes. Last year, or 2 years ago when I went, there were still tickets available, onesie twosies.
Wow.
On the ships, yeah.
That surprises me, but that's great news. Now, if you go back several episodes, and I can't remember what it is off the top of my head right now, but it's definitely in the feed. We had Goblin Dust on this very podcast, and so we've got tons and tons of information about this event if you're curious to find out more.
Exactly.
So just go back a few episodes and you'll find it. Okay, so that's events. The main reason that us monkeys went down 2 weeks ago to the Olympic Peninsula was because there's also, you heard me mention it earlier, a geo tour. It's GT76. There's 26 caches. There used to be 30. It's down to 26 because they've archived 4. Those caches go all around, as we mentioned, the perimeter of the peninsula.
Yeah.
It's a great geo tour. I have to say we totally enjoyed that. It's the caches are well placed. They're at interesting locations. They're not just sort of thrown out to make sure we get another cache out. They're all well placed, interesting locations, and they're all in excellent condition. So they are clearly maintaining. There's a couple of them where we got to and they were like brand new logbooks, and you know, we're well through summer, so they're definitely on an annual basis keeping that geo tour in good shape. So
how much longer do you think that geo tour is going to be around?
So here's the thing, spoiler alert, we're in a month we're going to have them on this podcast to talk all about that geo tour, and they've got some news about it, so it will be around. It will continue to be around. I was concerned because I looked at the number of logs on some of the caches that they were out of coins, because they do say on their website, I think it's a max of 200 or something like that coins that they're going to have. But our coin is in the mail, so we still managed to get one. So
yeah, sure, it's in the mail.
Yeah, right with your jacket.
I look forward to the news, because maybe next year I will go around there during the next year. That would be kind of awesome.
All right. Well, make sure you stay tuned to the podcast, because in early October, we're going to have them on the show.
Hey, which podcast is that?
The CachingNW.com podcast.
Oh, there you go.
Caching in the Northwest.
Northwest.
In the chat, Laurie says, as of 2 days ago, there are still 135 tickets available for those tall ships.
Wow. That's
a lot.
Yeah. I know Goblin Dust was talking about bringing on a third ship if the first two got close to being full. So there's still plenty of room. I tell you, and I've said it many times, it's one going on that battle sail was one of the most memorable events that I've done.
That would be so fun.
So
that would be cool.
I know some people from Salem are already up there waiting to go on those. Mm-hmm. That's weekend.
And it's significantly now you can go on a battle sail on these ships in other locations at other ports. They go up and down the West Coast. When they're here, it's significantly less expensive. That's so cool. I have to throw that out there.
Good tip.
So yeah, talking about the Geo Tour, it was a lot of kilometers. So because it's not a straight line, you do not just sort of drive point to point around the outside of the peninsula. There, especially when you're on the West Coast, there are not directly connecting roads. So, yeah.
So does that mean it's a lot of miles too?
Well, it's fewer miles by the numbers.
Yeah, okay.
Still a lot of kilometers. Yeah. So just, you know, set your measurement system to Imperial and it'll make
you get through it much quicker. You can probably get through it in a day.
Yeah. So it's not so bad if you drive an American car.
That's right.
I'm not sure math works that way, but you know, we'll see.
It does for me.
Go to her.
It's the exchange rate. You know, we'll go with that.
Anyway, so it took us, I was planning for 2.5 to 3 days to do this sucker. And we got it done in 1.5 days.
That's because he was driving in, you know, he thought it was kilometers per hour, but it was miles per hour.
So if it was real people, it would be 2.5 days then.
Right.
Yeah.
With humans, yes.
Yeah, I mean, we made it a lot further on the first day than I thought we were going to, so it really helped. But the other thing we did is we cheated a little bit in that we went down the night before we started, per se, and spent the night in Port Townsend. So, you know, you wake up and we had pre-bought our breakfast and everything. So like 6 a.m, you're up, you get the truck going. So you get a nice early start. If you're not getting onto the Olympic Peninsula until, you know, late in the morning or early in the afternoon, then yeah, it's going to take you a lot longer because it takes a while to get over onto the peninsula from any of the major population centers.
So where did you spend the night in between? In Port Townsend? Did you go back to Port Townsend or somewhere else?
Oh no, that would have been crazy.
Yeah, I thought so.
No, we spent the night in between at one of the beaches on the West Coast.
Cool.
Yeah, that's a good camping.
Like Long Beach, Huntington Beach. Just anywhere on the West Coast.
Yeah, no, I'll look that up.
No, it's okay. You don't have to. I'm just giving you a hard time.
It was at Malibu.
Some great beach camping out there on the peninsula.
San Luis Obispo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, not that far south.
Oh. Okay.
Not Hearst Castle, come on.
Oh, sorry.
That's San Simeon. Anyway.
Land Monkey.
Yeah.
You can stop looking.
No, now I need to know.
No, we don't need to know anymore. We're no longer interested.
No, listen.
You know, we missed Land Monkey. I'm not really sure he missed us.
That's right.
Not so much. It's one of the words I was having trouble pronouncing earlier. It's Kalaloc.
Kalaloc.
Kalaloc. Kalaloc Beach.
Okay. You didn't stay in Hump Tulips?
No.
He wishes he did.
But I visited.
Next time.
Land Monkey?
Yeah.
We know that you like Earth caches.
Yeah, they're okay.
I've heard that rumor.
So if you were driving by any earth caches, chances are you stopped and did them.
That's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah. So were there any earth caches that you drove by that you thought, oh, this looks interesting?
You know what? There were.
Every earth cache looks interesting to you. Well,
okay. You know what? I got to say that there are earth caches that don't look interesting, but because they're an earth cache, I do them anyways. Glacial erratics. But
I'm that? Sorry. Are you getting a cold?
Glacial erratics. I don't
wow.
know.
It's like almost all of them.
Hey. But.
Was swallowing there.
Sorry.
Limestone fossils. That's England.
There you go, right? So every region has its overdone type of earth cache. And in the Northwest, it's glacial erratics. But that said, there. I don't think I did a single glacial erratic on the Olympic Peninsula. There,
nice. You just avoided them.
No, just of the earth caches that were along our route. So like I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of earth caches that you really have to go out of your way to get to. And so because we were interested in trying to make sure we completed the geo tour within our weekend that we had, we avoided some of the detours. We are definitely going to be doing more visits to the Olympic Peninsula in the future. Just because we loved it so much. And those would be the opportunities to get up to some of those spots we didn't get to. But there were some really cool earth caches that maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe if you live coastal Oregon or something like that, then maybe you have more of these. But things like sea stacks. I have never done an earth cache on a sea stack before.
Hmm. Weren't those monsters in that old
sleestacks?
Sleestacks, yeah.
Oh, landed a lost.
Jumped right on that. Okay, good.
Another one on a lavatory. Not where you go to the washroom.
Interesting.
A lava tree, not a lavatory.
I'm not hearing the difference, but okay.
One must be careful how one enunciates.
Yes.
Mustn't one. But you know, there's a number of cool earth caches. There's a number of virtuals. There was a webcam. We got a webcam.
Nice.
That's rare.
Yes. So, and the webcam is just outside of Port Townsend. But there was a handful of the new virtual reward virtuals, which were, you know, which is cool.
Those are great.
Yeah. Generally, they're pretty high quality. Yes. But yeah, the caches were great. And like I said, the earth caches, I enjoyed them. I really enjoyed every single one of those earth caches. And I can't stop saying like the quality of that geo tour. You know, it's not, I have to, you know, full disclosure, I have one or two other geo tours that are my absolute favorites for other reasons, but these guys made what I would call a quality geo. I have done one or two geo tours not long ago that I would not rate anywhere near this quality.
That's big. Okay.
But yeah, these guys, they invested the time and they're maintaining it. And mm-hmm. So
good deal.
Yeah, it's not like one of those geo tours where 7 out of 10 of the caches is disabled within a month.
Yeah.
I don't know what you mean. Okay.
Yeah.
Right now.
Anyways, really good.
Nice. Well, there are some highly favorited caches out there on the peninsula. Oddly enough, two of them seem to be in Forks and centered around that movie that's close to dusk.
I cannot believe how much the people in that area are Twilight crazy. And I don't know if it's really that the people in that area like the movie that much, but they know, hey.
It brings money.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It brings tourism and that's worth it.
Yeah.
There's another one out there. It has 141 favorite points, and it has to be one of my favorite of all time caches.
It was a good one.
Do tell.
It's called Ring of Fire.
Ring of Fire.
That's a bucket list one for one. I need to do that one of these days.
Oh. Yeah, it involves a train.
I know.
Yeah. So Ring of Fire was a movie. And now I'm going to talk about it. I want to say it was a John Wayne movie.
sounds like a Johnny Cash song, but anyways.
It was a movie set. They ran a train off a trestle, crashed it.
Yeah, blew up the trestle, crashed the train.
Blew up the trestle, crashed the train. There you go. Thank you. And because, you know, it was done in the 50s, they just left it all there.
Yeah.
There's no environmentalism. Let's go clean
this
up.
No environmental impact study necessary. Let's just pick up the cameras and walk away.
It was a train impact study as the train impacted the ground. Yeah. And there are a couple of train cars left in this gorge.
Yeah.
And of course, if you've got something like that, you have to put a geocache there.
Duh. Yeah.
But it wasn't a John Wayne movie.
What was it?
Who was it? I don't know anybody in this cast. David Jansen, Joyce Taylor, Frank Gorshin, Joel Martson, James Johnson.
Frank Gorshin was the Riddler.
It was very much a B movie.
Oh, that's right. There you go. Yeah, it was a B movie. So,
okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought there was somebody.
No, there's a song called Ring of Fire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash.
It was the B train then that crashed?
Sure.
Pretty much. At the end of the movie, you know, it was a big train chase.
Chain trace.
Easy for you to say.
No, it is not. But anyway, that was a lot of fun. We went with a large group and, you know, it's one of the memorable caches that I've done. So
awesome.
Very cool.
Lori did it for her 1000th cache. Cool.
Nice. Yeah.
Very cool.
Earlier, Lori also mentioned that I should have done GC33G8A, the Lighthouse on Dungeness Spit, and the virtual out there. And that was on my original list when I was first planning the trip. And then when I looked at the hike and I looked at our time, I thought, oh man, I'm not sure we're going to make it out there. So we did bypass it on this trip, but it is on my must go back and do list. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Cool. Well, I didn't realize this at the time. It was MC3Cat's 3000th cache find. And that's why we were there.
MC3Cat's. I have so much fun in my mind every time I hear that. Because it just, like, I don't know, it sounds like a rapper.
Yeah.
It's like a cat lady rapper, but I know it's a guy.
Oh, so MC3Cat's, thank you for reminding me of that. I mean, I knew we went there with a bunch of people. I couldn't remember why. I've slept since then. Let me just put it that way.
There you go. Hopefully MC3Cats is not offended by me calling them a cat lady rapper. But
well, he says love it, but I don't know what he's referring to. So let's just.
Probably you.
Let's just go there.
let's move on.
All right. What else you got?
There's other great caches out there. There is an earth cache called the Hall of Mosses.
Ooh.
Remember I talked about the Hall of Mosses? You got to go there. I want to say that is also a World Heritage site. There's something associated with that.
We did Ruby's Rest. We did that.
Okay. That looks like a virtual, an older virtual.
It is. That's right by where we slept. So
cool.
That was, the beach down there was just beautiful. And again, it's like, so you got to remember you're right out on the West Coast. So, it's the middle of August, but the mornings are still, foggy and nice and cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you have the sea fog rolls in for the morning and doesn't burn off until the late morning, early afternoon. So plan clothing wise.
Yeah.
Appropriately for being there, but B, when you're caching in the morning, it's nice and cool, even in the middle of August. So that's a bonus.
Yeah. Well, there's 125 favorites there on Ruby's Rest. That's GC7077.
That's the one.
Did you put a favorite on it? You and 124 of your favorite friends?
I want to say yes, but I don't
want to say yes. Doesn't matter now. And then, of course, with 91 faves, one of my favorite phrases, resistance is futile.
Yes, it is.
It's an earth cache.
You did that one. Okay. That one I know I did.
Crescent Lake earth cache was 97 by Hope to Find It. Great name.
I've been to Crescent Lake. Pretty.
What was that other earth cache I did? Oh, Resistance is Futile. Resistance is Futile is at the same beach as Ruby's Rest. And that earth cache I loved. I've got some great photos that I took down in that area that I'll be some of them have already gone up on my social media at LandMonkeyGC, Instagram, Twitter. But there's more coming.
Nice. NW Hokie adds Pioneer Trail is a great cache too.
Nice.
There you go. There you go. It's all good. Mark, you said you found some events on the peninsula.
Yeah, I decided to look, just kind of look around and, oh, look, there's events. So there's an event on the 28th of August in Forks. Oh. Puget Sound caches meet and greet in Forks.
Nice.
So it's GC7W0K2. And then in Ocean City, which is down towards the bottom, mm-hmm. it's Welcome to Ocean City's West. It's on the 25th of August, and it's GC7, V as in Victor, H as in Harry, A as in Apple, F as in Frank.
Very cool.
Nice. Well, thank you for doing that research. You're the new research department.
Wow. Wow, it keeps going around.
Oh, yeah. I'm very generous with the research department.
Title I've noticed.
Just like this wine flow.
With about the same amount of credibility that goes along with it.
I was thinking avian, but okay, swine flu is fine. Okay. Hey, guys, we have had a lot of fun talking about the Olympic Peninsula, some of the great caches there, some of the great spots to visit, but this episode's running a little long.
Okay.
I hate to break up the fun because
No, you don't, you big spoil sport.
I'm very sad.
You're right.
Now.
Will you guys just be quiet so I can end it?
Okay, it's ended.
Okay. There you go. Now it's all quiet. Now I feel awkward.
The quietest place in the Northwest.
That silence you just heard is the equivalent of what you would hear if you go to the quietest place on Earth. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Subway Mark, thank you for joining us this evening. It's been a lot of fun. Come back again.
Even though I don't know the phonetic alphabet.
We'll forgive you.
You know, I can send you a wallpaper for your screen that has it at the bottom.
No more cheaters. He's got to learn it like the rest of us had.
Okay.
Oh, dog alert.
Oh, yes. Hello, dog.
Yep, that's Dylan.
Hey, Dylan. Dylan, come here.
Exactly.
We got a treat for you. So whenever Dylan appears, the podcast must be over.
Right.
Hey, do we have any other shows coming up?
We do. We've got some great shows coming up. Next week, August 23rd, we're going to talk and recap the APE event. August 30th, we're talking GeoCoin Fest with Avro Air. September 6th. Land Monkey, what are we talking about?
So September 6th is episode 267. We have some folks who have a company called Logwork. They're going to come on. They're going to talk about hiding caches that last. If you haven't heard of Logwork, you might want to tune in for this episode. They've got a really unique geocache log product that I had never seen before. I was really impressed. They've brought an idea over from Europe and are introducing it to North America, and it's definitely worth checking out. So September 6th, they'll be on the show. September 13th, the following week, episode 268, we've got another one of those awesome people from HQ joining us. It's Carly from HQ, and she's going to talk about geocaching EDU or geocaching EDU.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it.
I've been working hard getting guests lined up.
Yes, you have. You really have been working hard. So if you like these shows, thank Land Monkey.
Thank you, Land Monkey.
If not, blame me. Wait, Mark. Let's blame Mark. He won't be here.
If you don't like our shows, blame Mark.
That's right. Or Dylan.
Or you know what?
Yeah.
You I think that's it. If you don't like the shows, you blame Dylan. And what kind of person are you if you're going to blame a golden retriever?
That's right.
What's wrong with
you? The dog only wants to please you. Only That's wants right. to make you happy.
What is wrong with you people? Yeah. You're horrible. Stop blaming Dylan.
As he's whining because he wants to get out of here.
He's feeling the blame coming. All right.
He's probably not the only one.
Well, somebody else we want to blame. We want to blame all of our faithful Denali level supporters for making sure that you keep getting a podcast of this quality. No, seriously. Seriously. We want to thank you guys. Like every one of you supporters of the show through our Patreon site make a difference for us in our ability to keep the podcast coming. So thank you. And of course, thank you to the Denali level supporters who keep contributing and supporting us at that level. That's Bounce Bounce, Team Squirrel, Limax, and World Caching. Thank you guys. If you want to know more about supporting this show, click that Patreon link. It's either one of those two directions on the cachingnw.com website. And all of our patrons, let's run through you guys because you're all amazing. We have B Pendragon, Broncos Fan for Life, Sprouter, Camp Clan, Tick Magnet, Kev MacD, Subway Mark, Dora Moore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, Geo Nav Pros, Wino Seattle, Acker Doc, OBX Geek, Billy Robson, Nice, Antaeus, Keats 94, Curiosity Girl, Trexer Zero, and my new favorite, MC3 Cats.
Nice.
Nice.
And yeah, I did take a breath for that last one, but because I wanted to make it really dramatic.
Well done.
MC3 Cats, or the research department, as he's known today.
Well, are they I thought that was Mark now.
I thought Subway Mark was the research department.
Changed.
Now. Currently.
Well, Dylan. I tell you, he's Bickle Mark.
Dylan is the new research department.
It's Dylan.
Hey, Subway Mark, while you're still the research department, if somebody wanted to contact you and share some tidbits about the show, do you have any place on the interwebs people could find you to contact you?
SubwayMark@gmail.com. Subway Mark on the website. But my website is ktransit.com, just to confuse everybody.
I'm confused. Well done. How about Land Monkey?
Hey, our website is landmonkey.blogspot.ca. You can always find some current content there, as we're actually sharing on the website and our YouTube channel all about our amazing trip we just took through Europe. So, definitely YouTube. You're looking at LANMONKEY, Land Monkey, no D in there at all. Search for us on YouTube, search for us on pretty much anywhere on the internet. And we really love it when people follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and even Periscope. That's at Land Monkey GC. I put that little GC for geocaching on the end.
Now I get it.
That's what it's there for. Hey,
Dylan. I thought it was for Gold Country.
And that too.
Okay.
Good cookies.
Ooh. It's good enough for me. Okay. So yeah, that's where you find us. There's all kinds of tons of great content coming out. So definitely go and check it out. Some of our photos are pretty cool. Anyways.
And he's so humble too.
Well,
you do have great content.
Lately, so
yes.
All right. What's in?
What's in?
Find you.
Right here, Thursday nights. That's really about the only place I ever show up anywhere anymore.
Are you sure you're here?
No.
Okay,
well, I think I'm here. You're there.
That's right.
Yeah. So
what is there except here with a T?
With a T, yeah. You can find me on Twitter or geocaching.com or various other places. Just search for Wits End. WITZEND. Chris of the Northwest, how about you?
Like how you put the D in there, because it's not in Land Monkey.
That's right. I hold the D.
I gave the D to Wits End.
There is no
What happened to
Chris of the Northwest either.
Wow. We are really pushing our family-friendly status on this show.
Time after time.
Look for me anywhere you can find Caching NW, Twitter, Facebook. Head on over to cachingnw.com/host. Read our bios. Find all those links. You might even find me on geocaching.com every now and again.
It's been known to happen. And if anybody is still listening, we would like to thank them. Yes, both of you, for taking the time to listen to this here very episode of Caching in the Northwest. It's Thursday night after all. That's when we do this. Or maybe you're on a podcast app. You know, you can be part of the show. Subway Mark was.
Yeah.
And hey, we had a great time.
Dylan was too.
Exactly. Give us a call. 253-693-TFTC. Leave us a comment. Ask us a question. Carry us on your back up to Mount Olympus anytime, day or night. And, you know, you can also email feedback@cachingnw.com. Hi, Dylan. Your support, you know, it helps to keep quality shows coming. If you like this show, and really, who wouldn't? Please click the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. Make that list so long Land Monkey can't read it. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all those places this show is produced. by Chris Dumpfenauer and Jay Kennedy, and hosted by Chris J and little old me. This show is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license, copyright 2018, by that guy right there, Chris Dumpfenauer. Maybe he's over there. Up there. It depends. For here, for me, he's right there.
It's like the Brady Bunch.
I was going to say, it's like the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us. Hang around if you want. There's something else. I forget what it's
the called. The After Show.
That's it.
That's it.
How do you do that without opening your mouth?
I'm that good.
You don't want to know where it comes out.
Yeah, you don't. It's a family show.
The After Show.
It's not related to Hump Tulips, is it?
No.
Not direct.
We are out of control. And we just started the After Show. We're usually out of control during the After Show.
Speaking of the After Show, now, when we first got rolling, Subway Mark, you had something you wanted to throw in there. So why don't you go first?
Sure. So I was in England for 2.5 weeks. And on that other podcast that Chris does, you know, does he do another podcast?
No, nope.
I know of no other podcast.
Yeah. Well, so
that other podcast we talked about sidetrack caching, I believe.
That's called Geo Gearheads.
Or did we do it on this cache? I don't know.
You did it on the real show, this one.
Yeah. I did two podcasts in one day. I don't remember which one it was. Yeah,
welcome to my world.
That's every Thursday for Chris.
So where are you, Chris? Anyway, so.
No idea.
Sidetrack.
He's there. I'm here.
So before I left for England, I had more sidecache hides that I did than finds. I only had two finds and about 10 hides. But I go to England and then now I'm up to 19.
Nice.
It could be 20. Number 20 would be an earth cache at Euston Station in London. But someone kept sitting on the darn bench that I need to get information off of. Because I needed to look at the fossils on it. It's like,
Excuse me, sir, could you move so I could look at the fossils?
But it was weird. I did several earth caches and they're all related to fossils embedded in stone.
Nice. I did a earth cache in a train station in Stockholm that was related to the fossils embedded in the stone that makes up the floor.
Hmm. Nice. So it must be a Europe thing, all the fossils.
Was it a sidetracked earth cache?
It was not.
It should be.
That's right.
But it's not.
Sadly not. I still have zero sidetracked caches.
19 is a nice prime number anyway.
So this is starting to sound like the last episode now.
So Jay, you need to come down to Oregon. I think I know where there's some sidetrack caches.
Yeah, I bet you do. That's awesome. But yes, we haven't made it down to Oregon for a long time, so that's definitely on the list.
Well, maybe we did need to do an Oregon podcast one of these days.
Ooh. There you go.
It's part of the Northwest. We just don't talk about it.
I feel offended.
Ouch.
Speaking of places we don't talk about, Keepers of the Cache Group from Alberta. They had a hashtag FATAS. They're attending CAR MH9 SAW 9.
The
cache and release. Okay, I'm thinking, what are we talking about here? That's the Albertan big events that they have every year. So they said this weekend. Oh, they are attending the events this weekend. So, wow, there's several events there. Mm-hmm. TC7 Tango Foxtrot 34, GC7 Tango Juliet.
Quebec.
It's a Canadian thing.
GC, it should be. GC7 Quebec Charlie
Yankee
Echo. GC7 Tango Foxtrot Echo
November.
GC7
Papa
Tango British Columbia.
So where in Alberta are these?
First one is in Medicine Hat.
There you go. Keepers of the Cache. Wow. Tell us where these events
next
are.
Next one, the BC is it actually in Alberta.
That's very good.
You heard it here. BC is in Alberta.
So Keepers of the Cache will say, if anybody who's listening to this podcast is going to those events, make sure you come by and say hi.
There you go.
I'd love to go. I haven't been to Alberta in years.
Because Keepers of the Cache Flow, Mr. Keeper of the Cache Flow shaved off his beard. So I don't know if he'll even recognize
him. How are you going to find him?
I know. Maybe they're, I don't know why he would do that, because you know, you'd think people would want to be in competition for the most facial hair on the internet, but
we have the most facial hair of any geocaching podcast.
We do.
And I joined, so I have got even more.
Thank you. There you go. All of our guests must have facial hair. I don't care what her name is.
We just don't talk about the top of our heads.
Oh, well. Facial hair is all I'm looking for.
So Keepers of the Cashflow said it's going to be a busy weekend of vlogging for them with a family of five, all in Medicine Hat and area. So there you go. It's in the greater Medicine Hat area in southern Alberta.
Isn't that a fun name? I mean, that's almost as good as Hump Tulips.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not as fun as Hump Tulips, but it is a great name.
I just feel like if you go there and you put a hat on, all your ills are cured.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, I like that.
If you put the right hat on.
Yeah. Not the sorting hat. It's different.
I'd love to go there. I've been to Edmonton, Calgary, but never been to Medicine Hat.
Yep. It's
in Yellowknife.
Yellowknife is nowhere near Medicine Hat, Chris.
No, it's just one of the fun words to say.
It's north of us.
White horse, yellow knife. Yeah.
Bad horse, white horse.
No. Oh, IHAM is looking forward to seeing some of y'all at the Parlay event. Monkey Cakes has even made us costumes.
Oh, so you may not recognize them either.
There you go.
Very cool.
Depending on how elaborate the costumes are.
High rates.
I will look like a buoy. Keepers of the Cash Flow says, shout out to Jazz Hiker, who gifted us an Oregon 600 Garmin GPS for our geocaching adventure. How very cool. Great.
That is really awesome. Wow.
Very generous. Very cool.
Well, thank you, Jazz Hiker. That's very nice.
All right. We also have a question. What is the oldest geotour?
That'd be GT1.
Is that not the HQ geotour would be the oldest? It would be the first one?
I don't know. I just came up with GT1. I stopped there.
Geotours aren't that old, right? So I guess. Okay, I'm going to the website.
Yeah, but
research department. I want that title now.
Sorry, Dylan holds it now.
He can never take it back.
Seriously, Dylan.
He can really smell out those problems.
Hey, here you go. GTA is the gold country geo tour.
Oh, of course, it's Canadian.
I don't see a GT1.
Well, isn't that where they would have started?
It may be archived.
Well, the HQ Geo Tour is GT29.
Yeah, so that's what's throwing me off, because I would have thought that was the first. But, I don't know, GTA is Gold Country. That's
Colorado's South Park Geo Tour is GTD. Oh, we got to end the podcast.
GTE is Georgia History.
Yeah.
Georgia State Parks is GTF. There's a GT8 Columbus, Georgia.
I'm going to ask Rock Chalk what the first geo tour was. So there
Captain
you go.
John Smith is GT7.
So we will get an answer for you. All right. Keepers of the Cashflow says that Medicine Hat is the capital of black widow spiders in the world.
Okay, I'm not visiting now.
That does not
oh, like boy. No.
Yay, I want to go now.
That's why it's Medicine Hat, because you have to have medicine because the black widow spiders.
I was going to say, I don't think Keepers of the Cash Flow is going to retain any kind of title with Tourism Medicine Hat.
Well, Keepers of the Cash Flow says, speaking of geotours, both in Alberta, geotours will not be renewing again. The one will be done in the spring, but haven't heard when the other is done.
Oh. Well, I mean, I understand, because it's not cheap to maintain a geotour.
Right. Yeah.
But that's always too bad when. Mm-hmm.
But Dylan will do it for us.
Yeah.
Dylan. He's a good boy.
Hey, Dylan.
Dylan. Dylan. Dylan. Dylan.
There we go. All right. Oh, there. Thanks, Mark. There's Dylan. Dylan doesn't care about anything other than the cookie in Mark's hand.
That's correct.
Our boy.
So put cookies in the caches, and Dylan will find them and then bring them back to you. That's the whole retriever part.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of.
He retrieves but doesn't give.
That sounds familiar. Sounds like Piggy was very much like that. Iham said the last time they camped at Claylock, there was a whale carcass on the beach.
Ooh, that sounds smelly.
That sounds very smelly. As long as they didn't blow it up with TNT.
You mean that blast? That blasted
that happens,
blubber?
That happens in Oregon.
Beyond all believable bounds?
I have to say, at one of the stops on the North Coast we made, we actually did watch gray whales just off the shore. That was really cool. We were standing at the top of a big cliff that went down. There's some sea stacks and a whole bunch of kelp beds. And there's two gray whales just sitting in the kelp beds, and they would just lower down. And then every once in a while, they'd come up and float there for a little bit. And then one of them did the little roll the back across the water move.
That's exactly what the scientists call it, yes.
The little roll the back across the water move?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I am also a biologist, a marine biologist.
You are now a marine biologist.
I'm just going to add that to LinkedIn.
The sea was angry that day, my friends. Like an old man trying to send back soup at a deli.
It's on Wikipedia. Just give me 5 minutes.
All right. Well, did we get through?
Oh, we got through all the fatasses, I believe.
All right.
Land monkeys wearing too many hats, one of them being a medicine hat.
Ba-dum-bump.
GeoNav Pros wants to know.
Rapper comment.
So. Yeah. GeoNav Pros wants to know,
yep.
Does not the after show come under the same license?
Oh, because we make the comment about those. Mm-hmm. Yes, the entire program is under the same Creative Commons attribution license.
So but we give you the option to stop listening if, you know, you're rushed for time or you're in a place you can't laugh out loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're listening to us in the bathroom stall at work, it's probably not the best place to do it and laugh out loud.
The after show officially does not exist.
Is it here?
The after show.
Not for much longer. All right. Well, guys, what do you think?
I think we've run this one into the ground.
Well, yeah.
And I'm tired. How'd that happen? A funeral would be another place. Yeah, that don't listen to us at a funeral.
Awkward.
A wedding while listening to your wife tell about her day. You know, there's a lot of places you should not be listening to Cashing in the Northwest. But I think there are more places you should be. Like all the geocaches in the world.
There you go.
All right.
Until next week, folks, get out and get caching in the Northwest.
Goodbye.